back, everybody. This is Sight to the Blind. Shout out to my boy Joey McMillan, for it was he that reminded me about the ascending smoke offerings and how I was going to go about choosing a different option other than the brick altar that I had or made. So we're going to start off with Exodus 20. An altar of earth you shall make unto me, and shall sacrifice thereon your ascending smoke offerings, and your peace offerings, your sheep, and your oxen, and all places where I record my name. I will come unto you, and I will bless you. Now, before we even get into the rest of the scripture, the Most High has said, if we return to him, he will return unto us. If you read Malachi, Malachi was about returning to righteousness and also returning to the statutes and ordinances of offerings. The Most High said, if you put meat in my house, if you tithe and offer to me, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so abundant and so big you won't have room enough to store it. And if you tell Christians, you tell anybody in the denominations of a religion that, hey, this is how we should be offering and praising and worshiping our Heavenly Father. First thing they'll come out of their mouths is say, well, the law is fulfilled. We don't have to do that. Then he goes, oh, it's legalism. Oh, it's a works for salvation doctrine. Like it says here in Exodus 20, I will come unto you and I will bless you. This is the Heavenly Father saying, if you do this, if you do my statutes, if you do my ordinances, I will come unto you and I will bless you. It's not that difficult. They talk about this road being so narrow, only few will be able to find it. I could understand it, but it really shouldn't be that hard to find. People are stuck in the weeds, on the brush and the bushes of their own ego, their own pride, and their own doctrines that they follow or what they grew up in the Christian church, or whatever denomination of religion that you're in or you came out of. You weren't worrying about burning any foods or meats or offering any fruits or veggies to the Most High when you were in religion. You thought that praising and worshiping the Most High and giving his just due was putting a dollar in that little envelope for building fund, for the pastor, and for something else that they had. And then you dropped it in the offering plate. And you didn't see no fruits from that offering. You can just imagine, just think as a child of all the times your mother put a dollar in your hand or a quarter or 50 cents in your hand. And you had to go, you know, walk up there during, you know, the choir singing and praising and worshiping, and we dropping money into a plate, and we don't see any fruits of that labor. We don't see any fruits of the offerings that we have given the Most High. And we're being taught the Bible and scripture. How can we not see these verses? These verses hasn't changed over time. It's verses, Exodus 20, 24 is the same exact verse for thousands of years ago. Yet we grew up in religious denominations that did not tell us how we can be blessed. I don't understand how people can't understand that. You are willfully trapping yourself in ignorance instead of being blessed. This is a whole part of him telling us, go search the ancient paths. Search the ancient ways. You think the Most High is not up there waiting for us to shame our enemies, our adversaries? He even says in scripture, I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. Or a friend to your friends. You think he's just up there waiting to just destroy us? That as soon as we come into this truth, he just topple our households or topple the roof and let it cave on in? Let our enemies smote us. Let our enemies take advantage of us. He's not up there waiting to do that and laugh about when it happens. He's telling you, I will bless you. I will take care of you. Just do this. It shouldn't be that hard. It truly shouldn't. Some of us have found a way because we have the ability and opportunities to find the way. Others are just making excuses of why they can't do something. And if you will make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone. For if you lift up your tool upon it, you have polluted it. So that's why when I told you last episode, I was going to a one-stop shop garden. It was a one-stop garden shop up north, like Palm Beach Gardens. And I found these beautiful Santorini stones, which were beaten round by the waves, by the ocean. And I got about 200 pounds of these stones. It's about 19 stones. But they're all white. I posted this on the Sight to the Blind Instagram. But they're all white. And I put in the middle of it smaller Santorini stones. And then at the top layer, I put red lava stones. Because the red lava heats up. It stays warm. So if I'm burning an ascending smoke offering, the heat from the red lava stones because of the fire would at least keep the meat going until a burnt phase. So I won't have to keep putting wood, and kindling. I could just use these red lava stones for their intended purpose. And it worked. When I put the beef for my new moon offering and then my Yom Terah, the meat was completely burnt. So I built those stones up. A small altar made of stone. Correcting the one I had when I told you before that I just built this brick one. But I built this one because the Most High has alerted me and corrected me through Brother Joy McMillan. This is how he does it. He doesn't shame you. He doesn't use the Jumbotron in New York Times Square and say, hey, look, this person ain't doing the offerings right. Shame and mock him. It doesn't work that way. Where do you think these celebrities get these embarrassment rituals from? You think that they just, hey, let's just post that you went down on a 14-year-old. Let's just do that. And then we'll give you money for it. Where do you think they get that system from of embarrassment rituals? Where do you think they get it from? They get it from scripture. They get it from the Most High telling you, if you humble yourself, if you confess your sins, if you repent from your ways, I will come unto you if you offer to me. I will bless you. Now for them, it's they already serving Satan. So he's saying, if you want to serve me more, if you want to be blessed with something, I need you to do this. I need you to tell the world a dark history of that you have hid away from everybody. I want you to say it so then I can bless you. It's fake righteousness. That's why it says in scripture, they're masquerading as angels of light. When Will Smith and Jada were just expressing all that was going on in their marriage, people were like, oh, they're being honest, they're being truthful. But it was all based on a ritual for them to get what they want. Now you see Will Smith getting his own rap album. He wouldn't have gotten that rap album if he didn't go through Jada humiliating him, going up on stage and fake smacking Chris Rock. Now he's able to have a rap album, which is something he probably wanted to do for a while. But they're not going to let him do anything he wants to do until he has paid the price or he has offered to his God. Very easy to see where they get some of this stuff from. So if celebrities can offer to Satan, can humble and humiliate themselves for Satan to be blessed with material things, how much more can the Heavenly Father do for us for just going into a grocery store or a butcher shop, getting some prized meat, something that you know that he would love and like, without spot, without blemish, and offer it on a fire or altar that you have built with your own hands? All blessings that will not wither away. Blessings that will last for a lifetime. Blessings that whatever riches that you search for, it could be knowledge, could be riches. Understanding could be riches. Peace could be riches. A circumcised ruach could be riches. All these things are added unto you and your household for the material things because you have been obedient through the ruach. So the Most High is going to make sure you want for nothing because you are obedient to his word. You're doing exactly what he told you to do. I haven't seen that one scripture that the Most High has eradicated a family or a household doing what he told them to do. Adam and Eve will still be blessed and living today if they did not misstep in the Garden of Eden. The Most High said he did not create death. But the judgment is righteous all the same. He has no respecter of persons. We're going to abide by his rules or we're going to die by his rules. And when he says, for if you lift up your tool upon it, you have polluted it. So say if you see a rock that you really want, you'd be like, I just need to chisel it a little bit so it can fit in a place that I want so I can offer to the Most High. The Most High is going to say that offering is polluted. He's made his creations natural and as is and as perfect as they can be. They don't need to be reshaped in the way you feel like it. And this says a lot about doctrine. When it comes to the word of the Most High Yahuwah, man has lifted up his tool, his denominations of religion, his dogma, his doctrine, and have used that tool to carve out for himself the word enough for him to be okay with praising the Most High his way, praising the Son his way. So a lot of people are walking around here thinking they're righteous and self-righteous, but they're all walking around and observing a polluted doctrine, a polluted sense of the word or faith. Talking about, oh, as a Christian, I don't do this. Or as a Christian, I saw this. Or as a Christian, we should have. And they're talking out of their polluted mouths in a polluted doctrine. The Most High made the word to be observed as is. It don't need all of this different denominations and carving out parts and scriptures out of context to create religions and doctrines and things that we shouldn't do. When the Most High said, very basic, find the narrow path and you will be blessed. I'm showing you how you can be blessed. I'm telling you, I'm giving you A, B, C, and D, and 1A, and 2B, and 3C. I'm giving you all of the do's and don'ts and the ways you should be blessed and taken care of in this world. I'm showing you this. But you're telling me that it's legalistic for me to bless you. You telling me that you don't want to do the old ways because you think the law is fulfilled type of doctrine. You don't want to listen to me. Fine. This is why we have to understand the whole purpose of offering to him a offering without spot, offering without blemish, because the Most High is not going to take any polluted thing from our hands. So this is why he wants us from month to month, from feast day to feast day, to observe offerings so we, in our minds, can continually purge out doing things for ourselves more than we doing things for the Father. That we're able to separate, just like he has to separate us from the wheat and tare, we have to separate what's righteous and what's profane. What will be accepted, what won't be accepted. If we think this way, we also would think this way with our own ruachs. That I know he won't accept me if I'm disobedient. He won't accept me as an offering if I'm in a doctrine that's polluting his word. It says, neither shall you go up by steps unto my altar, that your nakedness be not discovered thereon. This Most High is basically telling you, you don't need to have it built up like the pyramids in Peru. You don't have to build it up that high. Because if you walk up there, and at the time they were wearing robes, there were no underwears, there was no Fruit of the Looms back then, there was no Hanes. So you walking freeballing. And you freeballing on the steps. So when you walking up there, either people below you can see you, see upwards, or just the Most High knows that when you're walking, you exposing your balls or exposing yourself walking up to his altar. So this is him telling you, I don't need great big steps. I don't need it. When Yaakov, Yasharel, went to Bethel, he built up a pillar of stones, which means he didn't have to grab a huge boulder to stack big boulders on top of each other. He grabbed stones, the ones that he could carry, and made a little pillar. And he blessed and sacrificed to Yahuwah there. So it's not like you can't do it. Leviticus 2, 12 through 15. As for the oblation of the first fruits, ye shall offer them unto Yahuwah, but they shall not be burnt on the altar for a sweet savor. And every, this is basically, I'm telling you, if you have fruit trees or any, if you use your money to just buy a nice bag of fruit for him, that you don't need to burn it. You don't burn the fruits. Meat offerings of ox or sheep or lamb, those you burn. But when it comes to the fruits, you do not burn them. And every offering of your oblation shall you season with salt. Neither shall you suffer the salt of the covenant of your Elohim to be lacking from your oblation. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt. The Most High likes his offering seasoned. This is how we know that we serve a black God. The Most High wants seasoning in these offerings. And if you offer an oblation of your first fruits unto Yahuwah, you shall offer for the oblation of your first fruit greens, ears of grain, dried by the fire, even grain beaten out of full ears. And you shall put oil upon it and lay frankincense thereon. It is an oblation. So this is him telling you, in this very short passage or short passages, that if you're going to do a fruit offering, you just lay the fruit aside. Season it with salt and oil. If you have veggies, you dry them out. You put oil upon them. Season it with salt and you lay them out. And you can put frankincense on it. And you just lay it out. He will take care of the rest. Now, this is not going to be the days of Adam and Cain where you're going to literally see a fire come down and consume your offerings. He could use many other ways to consume your offerings. With me, I noticed when the first time I laid out fruit, which was the harvest of my mangoes, that I laid them out on the corner facing Yerushalayim. Easy, because all I did was look at my Apple map. I just turned myself to where biblical Yerushalayim is, and then I just laid those fruits there. Then I just left them and offered to the Most High. 24 hours, birds came, squirrels came, critters came, and gobbled up all of them. I'm not talking about, it was not one mango left. They all were taken. The ones that I laid out for them were the best ones out of the bunch that fell, or as the ones I plucked. And they were accepted because the birds came, and I've never seen birds pick up or take away mangoes before. But the birds ate them. The squirrels love them, but the squirrels only eat maybe two or three bites, and then they just leave them, leave the whole ones on the ground. But everything was gone. So this is when I start understanding offering to the Most High. And before that, there was like a power surge where I have power lines behind that run underneath one of my mango trees. And it was like a electrical surge, like zzz, where I could see the electrical thing jumping until it hit the tree, it hit one of my coconut trees and caught fire, and it had to be put out. But it was going to be a hazard underneath my other mango tree. So the FPL people had to come and cut parts of the mango tree. So I first offered them the fruits of my mango tree. I said, you can have half of my mango tree. And this was before I plucked them. And then soon enough, the FPL came and they did what? They cut half of my mango tree down. But he took the back half, which was close to the power line, and he left me an abundant half that was the ones that were really, really big. So this is, I'm telling you, you have to prove and try the Most High in this matter so you know how he communicates with you, because he's not going to communicate with everybody the same. He's going to treat us mostly the same, those who are in the scriptures, but he's not going to deal with everybody the same. So this is why I'm telling you to learn how to communicate with the Heavenly Father and allow him to teach you, guide you, and grow you in doing these offerings so you know exactly what you need to do and know exactly why you have been called. He's doing the same thing with me. I'm just telling you how he's done it with me. Now, when it comes to the salt could be looked at as sanctifying your offering. It could be looked at as the work. Like, obviously, you didn't make your offerings. You're just giving him out of your abundance. You're just giving him out of what you own or what you're able to buy. You didn't create. Most of us didn't create this. Like the land that we have plant seeds, we didn't create the land. We didn't create the seed. We're just doing the work. So he's saying, I want you to do the work. I want you to understand the salt is a double meaning. I want you to sanctify with this seasoning. This almost saying the salt is also looked at as the ruach or righteousness. And we'll get into that later. But Ezekiel 20, 40 to 42. For in my holy mountain, in the mountain of height, mountain of the heights of Yasharel, says Adonai Yahuwah, there shall all the house of Yasharel, all of them in the land, serve me. There will I accept them, and there will I require your offerings and the first fruits of your oblations with all your holy things. I will accept you with your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries wherein ye have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. And ye shall know that I am Yahuwah when I shall bring you into the land of Yasharel, into the country for the which I lifted up my hand to give it to your fathers. Two things in this. One is the topography of the real Yasharel, the real Yerushalayim. He says, for in my holy mountain, in the mountain of the height of Yasharel, southern Africa is on a higher elevation than northern Africa. So if the Most High said, earth is my footstool, we are its first step. Because if he's coming down to us, he's coming down on that first step, which is us. We are the altar. People, he says, people have to come up to me in the last days to worship me in my mountain. If you go to Israel, that fake land that some of you still can't let go of, for some reason, I don't know why you can't let go of it, that fake land you can't let go of, Mount Zion isn't even a mountain, it's a hill. There is no mountains at the highest elevation in Israel compared to Africa or Southern Africa. There isn't. I posted on the Sight to the Blind Instagram, the mountains next to Bethel, which I found on the map, it's like 10 to 15 mountains, all of above 5,000 to 7,000 to 10,000 in height, 10,000 feet in height. The Bethel in Israel, the fake land Israel, are hills. Less than 2,000 meters. There is no mountains in that area that Yaakov went to between Bethel and Ai. If you look through the maps and actually, like I said, David Rumsey's map collection, just type in Bethel. You'll see various locations of Bethel in the fake land, but you also see them come up in southern Africa. All you got to do is go to Google, go to Apple Maps on your phone. Just go to where you think Bethel, the location was on the maps, and compare it to the topography in the modern times, and you'll find so many mountains are in that region. The Most High is talking about the height of these mountains. It can only be this land, and this land that houses all of the animals that Noah had in the ark. They all were let go in Africa. Common sense would tell you that. But the Most High is saying he's going to require our offerings. Again, he will accept our offerings. So in Exodus, he's talking about how to give offerings. We are going to go through a second Exodus. And this Most High is telling us, like, if you don't want to do them, you're going to still do them. Whether you want to or not, you're going to do them. And if you don't want to do them, I'll get somebody else or replace you with people who will do them. So you can only, but so far, run from these statutes and these ordinances that he commanded us to do. This is my whole point. It's the same thing with heaven. If they, in the heavenly tablets, doing Shabbats, doing certain feast days, what makes you think you're going to be able to go up there to do them if you have not been obedient down here to do them? Malachi 3, Verse 4, then shall the offering of Yehuda and Jerusalem be pleasant unto Yahuwah, as in the days of old and as in former years. Then shall the offering of Yehuda and Jerusalem. He don't separate any other clan or any other tribe but us. It's always us and Jerusalem, or us and Ephraim, us and Jerusalem, because we are the kingly office. We have the kingly bloodline. We are exalted above the other tribal names because this is what we are. He picked David, and out of David, he picked Solomon, and out of Solomon, he picked Yahusha. Out of the tribe of Yehuda is important to him. So why wouldn't you? If he's singling you out by tribe and telling you, you will do these offerings when I put you in your own land. You will offer to me as in the former days or in the former years, as in the days of old. You're going to do this. So why aren't you doing it freely now? You need to be told to do it? You need to be reprimanded to do it? Unless you don't want to be blessed. Or you don't want to truly know the Father and worship him and praise him in such a way that he does his word to you or does his word unto you. Some of you are struggling with paying the bills. Some of you are one check away from filing in unemployment. Some of y'all are one check away from eviction. Y'all really want to rely and rest your faith and hope on this system correcting itself? That it would somehow look out for the little guy after exploiting them since they created the Declaration of Independence, since they created the Constitution? You think they were looking out for you? But you put your faith in it. You think, I'm going to pay my taxes so I can get money back. That's your offering. Your offering is obedience to the system and in them giving you the money that they already took out. So basically, they're paying you with your own money. That's what taxes are to me. They are paying you with your own money. They want you to be obedient to the system so they can let you have back your own money that you rightfully work for. It makes no sense to me. They already take state, federal out. That now you have to pay more taxes on top of the taxes they took out because of income. How can you observe this system and not observe the statutes and ordinances of the Most High? You don't call paying the IRS legalism. You don't tell the IRS or the government, oh, it's such a works doctrine. I'm not doing this. It's a works for tax doctrine. I'm not doing it. But you more fear of the government than you are fear of the Most High. I don't get it. I be trying this system. Whether either by word or by deed, I be trying it. Just so the Most High can prove me. That's how you actually leave this system, is you try it. At first, when people woke up, it was like, oh, you can't say that. You can't do this. You can't say that. You can't post this because they'll come get you. Right. That was like the little Agent Smiths. Like, oh, you better be careful. Oh, they're powerful out here. I had, when I used to do Jason Whitlock's, when I did Jason Whitlock's show a couple of times, like, oh, you better not post that. It's the gay mafia. They got the gay mafia. You see what happened to Pimp C? I was like, at the time, I'm not walking in the foolishness of Pimp C. I'm walking in the righteousness and obedience to Yahuwah. So I start saying things about gays and I start saying things, or saying the truth about gays, saying the truth about Jews, and say the truth about synagogue of Satan. I was sitting back and watching them. I was trying it to see what they will do. Ain't nobody come knock on my door. Ain't nobody brush past me, give me the shoulder check. Nobody gang stalked me. Now, they tried me through ritual, they tried me through numbers, but that's the only Most High allowing that to happen so I would be more aware of where I was going, who I was with, and what I was doing. He tested me in order for me to succeed through the traps. So that's why I'm able to awaken others up, especially those who played in the system or played on the platform or been entertainment in this world. That's why I try to wake them up, because now I have seen how they move. And they don't have the power to do what they want. In order for me to be handed over to their numerology, their rituals, their sacrifices, I would have to be going back on my word, on my vow to the Most High. I would have to put myself in spaces that he has saved me from. That's the only way they can get me. So I tested the system. They can't do everything they say they're going to do. They are able to do this upon the ignorant, those who don't know, those who think they know. So if you go through the old books, I hate saying Old Testament, New Testament, because they're all one thing. If you go into the ancient days, the ancient ways of the former years, it talked about using animals and being able to separate yourself, animals, without blemish, without spot, to offer unto the righteousness of Yahuwah, because he will not accept a corrupt thing. He will not accept abnormalities to his word. He will not accept discrepancies. Learning how to do this, you would then look at yourself as in the newer covenant, or as when Yahushua came. Now we look at ourselves as the offering. Now we look at ourselves as the offering without blemish, without spot. If you go to Mark 9, and this is where I'm going back to the salt symbolism. Mark 9, 49 and 50. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Now, the Most High said, I will pour out my Ruach upon all flesh. Upon all flesh. Your men and women will see dreams and have visions, and your old men will prophesy. The Most High is salting us. He's seasoning us to see what our works will be. Some people are being seasoned, are not doing what they're supposed to be doing in the time of their seasoning. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost his saltiness, wherewith ye season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. So salt is the love, is the righteousness, is the truth, is the way. That's the salt. So the Most High pours out our Ruach. He salts us with the Ruach HaKodesh in order for us to do what he intended for us to do. We are the offering. We are the fruits. We are the veggies. We are the meats. Walk in Colossians 4, 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. So again, righteousness, truth, compassion, empathy, salt. So if you go to Matthew 5, 13 and 14, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth. So if you look upon this entire earth, is a big meat offering. The Most High is going to do what? He's going to burn up. And us being salted, we are seasoning this offering of righteousness to be saved. That some of us may die, but we will be resurrected. Just as you see smoke leave a meat when it's burnt, imagine our souls leaving through the seasoning, through the Ruach HaKodesh upon this earth, that is a meat offering. It's a big meat offering. The Most High is going to burn this entire place up as an offering, which it says, in the last scripture I read, for everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. So we are the offering. We are the salt. We are the meat. This whole place, if you look outside yourself, we're on a big altar. We are Yah's biggest altar. Now he's going to kick out those who aren't or does not have any salt in their ruach. They're meant for a different fire. They're not meant for the first fire. They're meant for the fire after, the second fire, which is the second death. And that is an eternal fire. That is being burnt with actually not being burnt. Can you imagine? That there's no end to your fire. There's no end to your burning. That you burn eternally forever. Romans 12, 1 through 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Elohim, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Elohim, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Elohim. He will not accept you if you have lifted up your tool upon his word. He will not accept your offering if you have lifted up your tool upon stone. He will not accept you if you do not have the salt to season your work. If you have lost your saltiness, that means you have lost the royal Hakodesh. You have lost your way. You have lost obedience to the Heavenly Father. You will not be accepted. It says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Ye are the light of the world. We are the offerings. Once we are set ablaze through our work from the seasoning of the Ruach HaKodesh, we cannot be hid. We are going to be like the flame in the dark. We are going to be the light to the other nations. But people who turn back to their unrighteousness, people who turn back and not only disobeyed the doctrine, but also disobeyed the word and blasphemed against the word, it has lost its saltiness. So that it is good for nothing. This is why the Most High wants us so desperately to get involved with tithes and offerings so we can perform the same type of ritual that he will perform on this whole entire world. How can you understand what he will do in the last days if you do not understand from his word how he will separate us from the righteous, from the profane, from the offering of spot and blemishes to offerings without spot, without a blemish. If we are looked to as a flock or sheep, do we not hear his voice? And the sheep that do not hear his voice, what do you think happens to them? They are left to the wolves. They're left to the lions. They're left to the enemy, the predators. So it all depends on what you offer yourself to. And you must be holy. That means you can't be eating pig and an offering to the Most High. And I think this is the one of the other reasons why he wants us to get back into these offerings. Because he knows that we can't be in sin and offer a righteous gift. We can't try to bribe or buy the Most High off. It says that in Scripture too. And I'm pretty sure that's exactly what the Israelites were doing. They were like, okay, all I do is set aside all these lambs and oxen without blemish, without spot, because I know I'm going to get ready to sin again. I think that's what they started perverting and misusing the ritual of offering and sending smoke offerings, because they're like, oh, I already know I'm a sin, so let me just set some sheep by the side. Let me set some oxen by the side. So I can plan my sin. So when I sin, I can just easily just offer to him. So that's why in certain scriptures, he said, I will not take from you the offerings of your sheep or your offerings because you have polluted it. You have perverted it. You're taking it for granted. Now you're trying to bribe and buy me off through your sin. And you calculating your sin with your offerings. So you know you're going to offer to me, but you know you're also going to sin a couple of times and think I'm going to be appeased because you offer me ox and sheep. But he want us to understand that he will do to us what we should be doing with these offerings, which is picking out the best thing for him. And on this is what it takes for us to serve him and worship him in order for that reward to be a blessing. I've been, like I said, I've been proving the Most High on this. The more expensive the meat get, the more I get in return. And I'm saying you have to work for money or you got to offer for blessings. I'm just saying the Most High knows in my heart that I want to build a better altar for him. He knows in my heart I want to do, I'm damn near close to just finding a goat on the side of the road and just doing it myself. That's how far I'm trying to get, that's how close I'm trying to get to the Heavenly Father. I'm trying to get as close as possible doing exactly what he loved for us to do back then. Why would I change them just because they call it the New Testament? Not only am I doing the offerings, the ascending smoke offerings of meats and my choice fruits and veggies, but I'm also getting myself ready to be an offering if need be. I'm allowing him to season me in order for me to put forth more fruit so I could be gathered into the barn. I want to be profitable through my ruach. And being profitable through your ruach is obedience. And once he sees you being profitable through your ruach, through your obedience, then he rewards you with anything you want. Yahushua has guaranteed it. Anything you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. I don't ask him what I want. I ask him what I need. And he already knows exactly what I need. So it makes it easy for me not to even say nothing, but to do these ascending smoke offerings from new moon to new moon, from feast day to feast day, from Shabbat to Shabbat. If I choose to offer on a Shabbat, you don't have to offer on every single Shabbat. I don't offer on every single Shabbat. But if when I want to do a peace offering or a goodwill offering or offering from the heart, I do it on one of those days or any random day to tell you the truth. You can do it whenever. But it starts with your obedience and understanding that we are the offering, that we're participating in his offerings. We understand his purpose. We understand his word through deed and truth. Now, this is the seventh month, which is what I'm understanding is, I think it's the busiest feast day months. The seventh month. I think there's a lot going on in this month than the other months. Because we have Yom Terah, which is on the new moon of the seventh month. We have the new moon itself, which is a day of remembrance and the changing of the seasons. And also the waters going into the abyss, or the abyss opening up. Then you have a fast of Yehuda. That's mentioned in Zechariah, I think, chapter 8. This is the fast of the seventh month. Then is Sukkot. So I think this is one of the busiest months. And it just so happens, coincidentally, that I'm getting married on the seventh month. So with that being said, this is my last episode until after my wedding. My wedding is May 23rd. So after that, after I do the 7 days, or I'll try to do the 7 days of celebration, I will come back to you with more episodes. So now is the last episode until after I get married, because a lot of things are going on. So after that, I will come back to you and tell you all the good things, or the good news, or the good truth. And I'll see you guys after that.